This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. Higher ground. This is Eunice Buckner Boone, and this is Higher Ground, My Turn. The views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, WEFT, Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So I'm going to play, let me see now, I'm going to play this speech. The Dallas Police Chief David Brown speech at Dallas Memorial Service. It's all connected to higher ground. It's all connected to love. It's all connected to what always works, what always works. But maybe we haven't learned how to do that yet, evidently. But it's within us, and it is us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. When I was a teenager and started liking girls, I could never find the right words to express myself. And after a couple of words, they'd just walk away, leaving me figuring out what do I need to do to get a date. And so being a music fan of 1970s rhythm and blues love songs, I put together a strategy to recite the lyrics to get a date. So for girls I liked, I would pull out some Al Green or some Teddy Pendergrass or some Isley Brothers, and I'd recite the lyrics to their love songs. But for people I loved, if I fell in love with a girl, oh, I had to dig down deep, get some Stevie Wonder. To fully express the love I had for the girl. So today, I'm going to pull out some Stevie Wonder for these families. So families, close your eyes and just imagine me back in 1974 with an afro and some bell bottoms and wide collar. We all know sometimes life's hate and troubles can make you wish you were born in another time and place. But you can bet your lifetimes that, and twice as double, that God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. So make sure when you say you're not in it, but not of it, you're not helping to make this earth a place sometimes called hell. Change your words into truth, and then change that truth into love. And maybe your children's grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren will tell them, I'll be loving you until the rainbow burns the stars out of the sky. I'll be loving you until the ocean covers every mountain high. I'll be loving you until the dolphin flies and the parrots live at the sea. I'll be loving you until we dream of life and life becomes a dream. I'll be loving you until the day is night and night becomes the day. I'll be loving to you until the trees and seas up, up, and fly away. I'll be loving you until the day that 8 times 8 times 8 times 8 is 4. I'll be loving you until the day that is the day that are no more. I'll be loving you until the day the earth starts turning right to left. I'll be loving you until the earth, just for the sun, denies itself. I'll be loving you until Mother Nature says her work is through. I'll be loving you until the day that you are me and I am you. Now, ain't that loving you? Until the rainbow burns the stars out of the sky. Ain't that loving you? Until the ocean covers every mountain high. And I've got to say, always, I'll be loving you always. And there's no greater love than this, that these five men gave their lives for all of us. It is my honor to introduce to you the President of the United States of America, President Barack Obama. Thank you.
I'm going to play that speech too, because I think it's important to listen to what President Obama has to say about all the violence and what we already know what to do. But then again, the president will give attention to that, and I think it's worthy of listening to and to reflect on. So I'm going to play that song by Stevie Wonder that Chief David Brown was reciting. I'll be loving you always.
in early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. As now can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, do know what I say is true, that I'll be loving you. Know exactly when to change. Just as kindness knows no shame, know through all your joy and pain that I'll be loving you always. As today I know I'm living, but tomorrow could make me the past, but that I mustn't fear. For I'll know deep in my mind the love of me I've left behind, 'cause I'll be loving you always.
Loving you until the ocean covers the mountain high. Loving
Wow, isn't that interesting? Is it true that love is the cure? Or is it who we are, but yet we deny that? It says until, always. That means there's no beginning, no end. It just is. And what is going to correct that which needs adjusting? The insight that you get from forgiveness and grace and from experience, the wisdom. Love works. Can you think of one thing that love does not correct? Love does not heal. Can you think of one thing? And can you think of one thing that with love will not create more dissension, more hatred, more separation, more prejudices? Can you imagine a world of people like yourself and myself who love, know that the essence of who they are is love, and they actually become that, as Martin Luther King would often speak of? The things that we speak about, Martin Luther King said, do not talk about it. Do not talk about those things. Be love. He didn't say that. Those are not his exact words, but that's what I heard Martin Luther King say. Be love. What is going to correct and fix all things that ail us, that we think we lack or we need more of? We have all the love we need inside of us, but it is not what comes out of us. It is not what comes out. It's not a judgment. This is our opportunity. This is what we are realizing, is that this is the time. Another time. This is the moment. This is the new earth we've been looking for. This is the new you and me and us that we've been waiting for. I'm going to have on at 8:45, starting at 8:45 or somewhere near that, Kenneth Bubb Shelby, who started a kickball, which will begin today, will be the first kickball tournament at 10 o'clock at Champaign's Douglas Park. And so he will talk about why he decided to do that. It was in the newspaper yesterday morning. And I'm going to get right into President Obama's speech, and I'm going to play as much as I can. And then afterward, we'll talk about it. All right. Because he talks about this is a Dallas memorial service honoring police officers, but also he talked about the lives lost of black men to police officers. Black males, this violence is, he says, this is too often, too much. And then also what happened in that church in Charleston, right? Look at this. Okay. All right. President of the United States, Barack Obama.
And colleagues and fellow officers. Scripture tells us that in our sufferings, there is glory. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Sometimes the truths of these words are hard to see. Right now, those words test us. Because the people of Dallas, people across the country, are suffering. We're here to honor the memory and mourn the loss of five fellow Americans, to grieve with their loved ones, to support this community, to pray for the wounded, and to try and find some meaning amidst our sorrow. For the men and women who protect and serve the people of Dallas, last Thursday began like any other day. Like most Americans, each day you get up, probably have too quick a breakfast, kiss your family goodbye, and you head to work. But your work, and the work of police officers across the country, is like no other. For the moment you put on that uniform, you have answered a call that at any moment, even in the briefest interaction, may put your life in harm's way. Lauren Ahrens, he answered that call. So did his wife, Katrina. Not only because she was the spouse of a police officer, but because she's a detective on the force. They have two kids, and Lauren took them fishing and used to proudly go to their school in uniform. And the night before he died, he bought dinner for a homeless man. And the next night, Katrina had to tell their children that their dad was gone. And they don't get it yet, their grandma said. They don't know what to do quite yet. Michael Kroll answered that call. His mother said he knew the dangers of the job, but he never shied away from his duty. He came 1,000 miles from his home state of Michigan to be a cop in Dallas, telling his family, "This is something I wanted to do." Last year, he brought his girlfriend back to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and it was the last time he'd see his family. Michael Smith answered that call. In the Army, and over almost 30 years working for the Dallas Police Association, which gave him the appropriately named Cops Cop Award. A man of deep faith. When he was off duty, he could be found at church or playing softball with his two girls. Today, his girls have lost their dad, for God has called Michael home. Patrick Zamaripa, he answered that call. Just 32, a former altar boy who served in the Navy and dreamed of being a cop. He liked to post videos of himself and his kids on social media. And on Thursday night, while Patrick went to work, his partner Christy posted a photo of her and their daughter at a Texas Rangers game and tagged her partners so that he could see it while on duty. Brent Thompson answered that call. He served his country as a Marine. And years later, as a contractor, he spent time in some of the most dangerous parts of Iraq and Afghanistan. And then a few years ago, he settled down here in Dallas for a new life of service as a transit cop. And just about 2 weeks ago, he married a fellow officer. Their whole life together waiting before them. Like police officers across the country, these men and their families shared a commitment to something larger than themselves. They weren't looking for their names to be up in lights. They'd tell you the pay was decent, but wouldn't make you rich. They could have told you about the stress and long shifts. And they'd probably agree with Chief Brown when he said that cops don't expect to hear the words "thank you" very often. especially from those who need them the most. No, the reward comes in knowing that our entire way of life in America depends on the rule of law. That the maintenance of that law is a hard and daily labor. That in this country we don't have soldiers in the streets or militias setting the rules. Instead, we have public servants, police officers, like the men who were taken away from us. And that's what these five were doing last Thursday. When they were assigned to protect and keep orderly a peaceful protest in response to the killing of Alton Sterling of Baton Rouge and Philando Castile of Minnesota. They were upholding the constitutional rights of this country. For a while, the protest went on without incident. And despite the fact that police conduct was the subject of the protest, despite the fact that there must have been signs or slogans or chants with which they profoundly disagreed, these men and this department did their jobs like the professionals that they were. In fact, the police had been part of the protest planning. Dallas PD even posted photos on their Twitter feeds of their own officers standing among the protesters. Two officers, black and white, smiled next to a man with a sign that read, "No justice, no peace." And then around 9 o'clock, the gunfire came. Another community torn apart. More hearts broken. More questions about what caused and what might prevent another such tragedy. I know that Americans are struggling right now with what we've witnessed over the past week. First, the shootings in Minnesota and Baton Rouge, the protests. Then the targeting of police by the shooter here. An act not just of demented violence, but of racial hatred. All of it's left us wounded and angry and hurt. It's as if the deepest fault lines of our democracy have suddenly been exposed, perhaps even widened. And although we know that such divisions are not new, though they've surely been worse in even the recent past, that offers us little comfort.
Excuse me, I'd like to do an underwriting. Kevin Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That is E-L-L-I-O-T-T CounselingGroup.com or 217-398-9066.
Faced with this violence, we wonder if the divides of race in America can ever be bridged. We wonder if an African-American community that feels unfairly targeted by police and police departments that feel unfairly maligned for doing their jobs can ever understand each other's experience. We turn on the TV or surf the internet and we can watch positions harden and lines drawn, and people retreat to their respective corners, And politicians calculate how to grab attention or avoid the fallout. We see all this, and it's hard not to think sometimes that the center won't hold and that things might get worse. I understand. I understand how Americans are feeling. But Dallas, I'm here to say we must reject such despair. I'm here to insist that we are not as divided as we seem. And I know that because I know America. I know how far we've come against impossible odds. I know we'll make it because of what I've experienced in my own life. What I've seen of this country and its people, their goodness and decency as President of the United States. And I know it because of what we've seen here in Dallas. How all of you, out of great suffering, have shown us the meaning of perseverance and character. And hope. When the bullets started flying, the men and women of the Dallas police, they did not flinch, and they did not react recklessly. They showed incredible restraint. Helped in some cases by protesters, they evacuated the injured, isolated the shooter. Save more lives than we will ever know. We mourn fewer people today because of your brave actions. Everyone was helping each other, one witness said. It wasn't about black or white. Everyone was picking each other up and moving them away. See, that's the America I know. The police helped Shetamia Taylor as she was shot, trying to shield her four sons. She said she wanted her boys to join her to protest the incidents of black men being killed. She also said to the Dallas PD, "Thank you for being heroes." And today her 12-year-old son wants to be a cop when he grows up. That's the America I know. In the aftermath of the shooting, we've seen Mayor Rawlings and Chief Brown, a white man and a black man with different backgrounds, working not just to restore order and support a shaken city, a shaken department, but working together to unify a city with strength and grace and wisdom. And in the process, we've been reminded that the Dallas Police Department has been at the forefront of improving relations between police and the community. The murder rate here has fallen. Complaints of excessive force have been cut by 64%. The Dallas Police Department has been doing it the right way. And so Mayor Rawlings and Chief Brown, on behalf of the American people, thank you for your steady leadership. Thank you for your powerful example. We could not be prouder of you. these men, this department, this is the America I know. And today in this audience, I see people who have protested on behalf of criminal justice reform, grieving alongside police officers. I see people who mourn for the five officers we lost, but also weep for the families of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. In this audience, I see what's possible. I see what's possible when we recognize that we are one American family, all deserving of equal treatment, all deserving equal respect, all children of God. That's the America I know. Now, I'm not naive. I have spoken at too many memorials during the course of this presidency. I've hugged too many families who've lost a loved one to senseless violence. And I've seen how a spirit of unity born of tragedy can gradually dissipate, overtaken by the return to business as usual, by inertia and old habits and expediency. I see how easily we slip back into our old notions because they're comfortable. We're used to them. I've seen how inadequate words can be in bringing about lasting change. I've seen how inadequate my own words have been. And so I'm reminded of a passage in John's Gospel. Let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If we're to sustain the unity we need to get through these difficult times, if we are to honor these five outstanding officers who we lost, then we will need to act on the truths that we know. And that's not easy. It makes us uncomfortable. But we're going to have to be honest with each other and ourselves. We know that the overwhelming majority of police officers do an incredibly hard and dangerous job fairly and professionally. They are deserving of our respect and not our scorn. And when anyone, no matter how good their intentions may be, paints all police as biased or bigoted, we undermine those officers we depend on for our safety. And as for those who use rhetoric suggesting harm to police, even if they don't act on it themselves, well, they not only make the jobs of police officers even more dangerous, but they do a disservice to the very cause of justice that they claim to promote. We also know that centuries of racial discrimination, of slavery and subjugation, and Jim Crow, they didn't simply vanish with the end of lawful segregation. They didn't just stop when Dr. King made a speech or the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act were signed. Race relations have improved dramatically in my lifetime. Those who deny it are dishonoring the struggles that helped us achieve that progress. But we know But America, we know that bias remains. We know it. Whether you are black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or of Middle Eastern descent, we have all seen this bigotry in our own lives at some point. We've heard it at times in our own homes. If we're honest, perhaps we've heard prejudice in our own heads and felt it in our own hearts. We know that. And while some suffer far more under racism's burden, some feel to a far greater extent discrimination's sting. Although most of us do our best to guard against it and teach our children better, none of us is entirely innocent. No institution is entirely immune. And that includes our police departments. We know this. And so when African Americans from all walks of life, from different communities across the country, voice a growing despair over what they perceive to be unequal treatment, when study after study shows that whites and people of color experience the criminal justice system differently, so that if you're black, you're more likely to be pulled over or searched or arrested, more likely to get longer sentences, more likely to get the death penalty for the same crime. When mothers and fathers raise their kids right and have the talk about how to respond if stopped by a police officer, yes, sir, no, sir, but still fear that something terrible may happen when their child walks out the door, still fear that kids being stupid and not quite doing things right might end in tragedy. When all this takes place more than 50 years after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, we cannot simply turn away and dismiss those in peaceful protest as troublemakers or paranoid. We can't simply dismiss it as a symptom of political correctness or reverse racism. To have your experience denied like that, dismissed by those in authority, dismissed perhaps even by your white friends and co-workers and fellow church members again and again and again, it hurts. Surely we can see that, all of us. We also know what Chief Brown has said is true. That so much of the tensions between police departments and minority communities that they serve is because we ask the police to do too much and we ask too little of ourselves. As a society, we choose to underinvest in decent schools. We allow poverty to fester so that entire neighborhoods offer no prospect for gainful employment. We refuse to fund drug treatment and mental health programs. We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock then get his hands on a computer or even a book. And then we tell the police, you're a social worker, you're the parent, you're the teacher, you're the drug counselor. We tell them to keep those neighborhoods in check at all costs and do so without causing any political blowback or inconvenience. Don't make a mistake that might disturb our own peace of mind. And then we feign surprise when periodically the tensions boil over. We know those things to be true. They've been true for a long time. We know it. Police, you know it. Protesters, you know it. You know how dangerous some of the communities where these police officers serve are. And you pretend.
Hey, well, this is Eunice Buckner Boone, and this is Higher Ground. Well, my guests are in the studio now, and I just want to have to interrupt President Obama. We can always listen to him later. And plus, he's on YouTube, and you can hear the entirety of the speech. If I don't get a chance to play it, the rest of it, you can listen at any time. But you get the gist of what President Obama said repeatedly and repeatedly, and something that has been expressed again and again. And this is a community violence or what we need to do to heal. And I know that Stevie Wonder song where he says that I have to see you, I see you in me, and me in you, and that's how we're going to change things. And so how does change take place? Well, I invited someone here in the station today because I saw him in the newspaper, and I said, oh, I got a guest for tomorrow. Yay! And his name is Kenneth Bub Shelby. And Kenneth Bub Shelby came up with this idea. He says, well, I want to do something nice for the community. And he tossed this idea around and put it on Facebook. Isn't it amazing the things you can do now through media? Well, he invited people to participate in a community tournament, a kickball tournament. And so I want you to hear, our WEF listeners, to hear why Kenneth Bub Shelby decided this is something he really wanted to do. And he invited his cousin, Carlos Cobb, to be with him today. And Carlos is over there smiling. He says, me and Kenneth, we talk about everything, which is really nice when you have somebody who can talk about everything. That is really good for our spiritual, emotional, and mental health, as well as exercise and getting together with friends and family and people that are not in your specific community, but just inviting people to come together and have fun. And we also have Alexander Heath, who said he's just waking up. And he's the youngest, I think, in here. I know he's the youngest. I can tell. But he said he's just waking up. And but he looks really good, though. You know, I wonder how these young people can look so good just waking up. Kenneth. Yes, Kenneth, you look real good. All right, now. So we've got Kenneth, Alexander Heath, Kenneth Shelby, I had your name wrong, and Carlos Cobb in here. So we're going to talk about this tournament that's coming up. So good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning.
Now be sure to speak directly in that microphone, even though you have that deep, beautiful voice.
No, Alex has the deep, beautiful voice.
Okay, well, I think I have a deep, beautiful voice in here. So Alex, you and I both have a deep, beautiful voice.
He has the very white thing going
oh,
on.
Oh, does he now? Yeah. Okay. All right, well, Kenneth, please tell us about yourself in this, you know, in Champaign-Urbana, your history here.
Okay, obviously my name is Kenneth Shelby, born and raised here in Champaign County, attended school at Champaign Central, graduated in 1991, and so just being here in the community being raised here, I've been able to see a lot of things that has taken place. Just in our generation, I feel like that we were just raised completely different the way things are now. You know, if there were an issue in the community, usually the parents would really get involved to try to keep the situation from escalating. And a lot of the parents knew other parents, so they would get, you know, us together and say, hey, look, this is like your family here. And, you know, we don't tolerate things like this. So I just think a lot of that has been lost, you know, with our generation. So just sitting around, I was thinking, just hearing of, you know, the different killings and shootings and stuff, and I was just sitting wondering, just like, man, what is it that, you know, I can do personally that will kind of bring people together just to have a good time, you know, and to hopefully, you know, where people can experience and see people, you know, in a different light, you know, for whatever reason we have these animosities and we're angry and stuff. So I kind of wanted us to just get together and say, okay, what is it, you know, that I could do to bring folks together, and, you know, that we could shake hands and, you know, give some hugs and just talk and, you know, and that sort of thing. And so I was just reflecting back of growing up and the things that I loved to do. And one of those things was to play kickball. And I remember in elementary school being able to play kickball and, you know, challenging your other classmates in other classrooms. And we would go out and play kickball and just, you know, just have fun. And so that kind of just, you know, came back to me, man, play kickball. And so after posting it on Facebook and, you know, contacting like Carlos and Alex and other people, and they say, hey, man, I'm thinking about having a kickball tournament. And, I mean, they were willing to jump on board and 100% into it, just help me kind of, you know, get it all together. And today is the big day.
So how did you get it all together? Tell me.
After posting it onto Facebook, mm-hmm. and then it was kind of, you know, kind of waiting to see how people will respond. And then so it seems like that I know I was serious about it, and it seems that everybody else that were, you know, commenting on the post was pretty serious about it. So then what I did was contacted the Parks District to say, okay, hey, I'm thinking about having a kickball event on this day. Is the field available? And so it was. And so I went ahead and reserved the field. And so I went on Facebook and say, okay, you know, I reserved Douglas Center for us that, you know, interested in playing the kickball. And so immediately, you know, people was good. Yeah, let's do it. And, you know, and so then after that, it's kind of the next step. I started, you know, saying, okay, well, as far as resources, you know, it's pretty limited, you know, but, you know, it was something that I wanted people to come out and not have to worry about paying for anything, or, you know, it's just, I just want you to come in good spirits and have fun. And so, you know, I started kind of looking at my resources, say, okay, what is it that I can do? Wasn't shy of asking, you know, like Family First inflatables. They're coming to set out.
So this became not just a kickball thing. Now it's becoming like this community event where children can come.
Yeah,
and
children can
enjoy.
The elderly can come. I mean, everybody. I think we're going to have a pretty diverse crowd. Mm. I think that it's going to be a lot of people that show up, you know, just playing and even just to, you know, cheer and to watch and just come for the camaraderie of, you know, of everybody. So.
Okay, so now you've got these inflatables, you said, mm-hmm. resources. So we're not just talking about kicking the ball. We're talking about more than that.
Absolutely.
So you said you looked at your resources and you mm-hmm. said, well, we should have this. And how did you come up with these? I mean, these ideas were generating.
It's just kind of just, you know, as I'm sitting and thinking, you know, mm-hmm. just different ideas will, you know, come to mind. And then so I said, okay, well, how can I make this work? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once again, I know, you know, my resources are limited. So, but like I said, I wasn't shy to ask, you know, for a little assistance for, you know, people that I would, you know, potentially spend money with.
Mm,
so,
okay.
You know, so with the, you know, Family First Inflatable, say, hey, you know, I want this inflatable. And, you know, how much do you charge? And they gave me the amount. And then I said, okay, well, you know, this is what I'm doing. Explain to them the situation, and usually what happened, they said, okay, I'll tell you what, you give us this and then we'll pitch in, you know, 3 or 4 more hours for the inflatable to be out there. So, which, you know, worked out well, you know, even with the Hog and Wood, the barbecue, new place that's over on
4th Street.
Yeah, off of 4th Street there. You're going in, I'm spending my money with them and, you know, eating there, you know, a couple of times a week and say, hey, man, I have this event going on. And, you know, could you be willing to donate food? And, you know, yeah, man, no problem. And so, you know, they're donating. And, you know, so it just kind of, you know, anytime an idea would pop in my head, no matter where I was at, I would, you know, kind of act on it. And then it's all been working out by God's grace.
So have you ever planned anything like this before? This something?
No, not first time. On a scale like this, no. Mm-hmm. No. Just, you know, I mean, just things as taking trips with Carlos and stuff like those kind of plans, but mm-hmm. not on like a community-wide.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you have a PhD?
I do not. I have no degree except for a high school diploma.
That's all?
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, to me, it's a lot, but you know.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I always think about what Martin Luther King said in his drum major speech, mm-hmm. and he said not to talk about those things, and that is your degree, your letters, whether you have one, don't have one. It didn't matter because everyone can serve.
Sure. Sure.
Aren't you just proud of yourself?
I am touched. I'm very happy. And not only that, mm-hmm. just, I'm happy that the community, mm-hmm. you know, was willing and ready to be involved mm-hmm. and to, you know, participate, you mm-hmm. know, with, you know, whether we have people coming by donating cases of water or a pack of hot dogs or, you know.
Now, how did you get the community involved? Did you speak to the churches?
No, it's all
word of mouth.
All Facebook and word of mouth.
Facebook. So a lot of the communication. So did you ask for donations?
I did not. I didn't ask for any donations. I specifically said that everything would be free. Mm. And so that was my intent, that all you had to do was come to the park and have fun.
And so
we left it up. But that's the good thing. We know that, you know, people still love and care mm-hmm. and will help when something good is going on. Because, you know, I didn't have to pick up the phone and ask people to donate. They, you know, would inbox me on Facebook and say, hey, you know, what do you need or what can I do to help you out? And so I really appreciate the folks that have done that.
Wow. I'm so moved. So I'm going to bring some water or something before I come by there today. I told my husband he's working today, but I said I wanted to stop by, and if he wasn't, he would be there
it
too.
It would be greatly
just
appreciated.
I just want to look and see.
Yeah, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. So Carlos, cousin Carlos, that Kenneth talks to everything about.
Everything.
So when he said, you know, I got this idea, what did you say?
Well, we talked about it, and I told him I thought it was a good idea, especially when it's something to do with the community. I'm a member of the Atomic Dogs Motorcycle Club, so I'm familiar with doing community stuff, Boys and Girls Club, doing Champaign Urbana Day. So I thought it was a great idea, anything that we could do to give back to the community.
So you participate in other community or
absolutely
events in terms of planning?
In terms of planning and okay. you know, just mm-hmm. doing whatever we need to do to give back to the community. So
you was really helpful in terms of helping him to go about making those plans.
Doing whatever we need to do to get it together, whether it was finances, mm-hmm. Just my time, my help. So, I mean, we're like brothers. So, like I said, we talk about everything. We argue. We fuss at each other. So mm-hmm. I told him I thought it was a great idea.
So tell me, what motivates you to participate in your community? And even more so, I don't know if it is now, because we're hearing so much about violence in our communities and around the world, is so much.
Well, I think the way things are now are sad. Mm. We have to start reaching out to our young folks, men and women. I kind of came from the streets, getting in and out of trouble. I was raised in a good home, mother and father, but I chose to do what I wanted to do. And so I know what it's like to be out there in the streets doing silly stuff, dumb stuff. So it's time for us to reach out to our young men and women, and sometimes it's easier for them to hear from somebody that's been through it or lived that lifestyle. So I've lived that lifestyle. So it's my job now at almost 46 years old to reach out and try to do my part and give back to the community mm-hmm. and to our young black men and women.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think what else I wanted to say. Carlos, you're the youngest in here. No, sorry. I keep calling you Carlos. Alexander is getting upset with me over there. Alexander, you're the youngest one in here. So tell me, what did you think about this idea when you were told?
I got
to
get my voice deep because
it is wonderful. Your but, voice deep.
You know, I was 100% with him when he, you know, came to me about this because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm young. I'm 31 years old, born and raised here, and I've done things in my life that, you know, I'm not proud of, but when I started having kids of my own, that's, you know, changed my whole views on everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for, you know, doing things in the community, because a couple months ago I did a male workshop at the Banner Free Library for teen boys, just basically, you know, letting them know do's and don'ts and, you know, in the
You did a male workshop?
Yes, ma'am.
And so I never heard about that one. This was at the Champaign?
No, Urbana Free
Library. Urbana Free Library? Uh-huh. Okay, tell me about that.
I had a nice crowd out there. Basically, I had some speakers, mm-hmm. you know, that's been through the struggle, and community leaders and all that, you know, wanted to reach out to the teen boys and just, you know, basically influence them how to do right. So when Bub came to me, saying he want to do this kickball tournament, you know, love thy neighbor. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people that's going to be out there today that I never cared for. And this would be a good idea today to, you know, let me know the real side of them. They can know me and we can come together, you know, basically build a friendship after this. So that's why I'm all for this.
Mm-mm. Love that neighbor. People that don't know you that and you don't know them, mm-hmm. but you're going to show love.
Yes.
I think that's wonderful.
And that's, you know, with everything that's going on, that's how it should be now. Cause mm-hmm. if we can't reach out to our community, how mm-hmm. can we go around mm-hmm. yelling mm-hmm. this and that, mm-hmm. but we're not trying to bring it home first, mm-hmm. get our people straight. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too.
Yeah, and your neighbor could be anybody you come in contact with, people yes. that you see at the grocery store on a regular mm-hmm. or at the gym or... you know, just in passing, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, sticking your hand out the window and just waving at people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you may get funny, like, what are you waving at? But, you know, usually they'll wave back just because, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's just things like that. So, it's, you know, it's love thy neighbor because, you know, I mean, that's what the Bible tells us we should do, you know, and really that's what we should do. Because mm-hmm. we hold on to so many negative things, you know, and we carry that over into other relationships and mm-hmm. to, you know, to going to work, you somehow you're upset and you're mistreating people at work and that sort of thing. So if you just kind of take self out of the situation sometime and focus on, like you said, the Stevie Wonder song, you know, if I were you and you were me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I think that makes the community and the world a lot better.
Oh. You know, what you said is so powerful because...
Oh.
Oh, there's more people?
Yeah, more
okay,
people.
Just let them in, Alex.
Yeah.
They'll just have to stand up and talk. Yeah. But, you know, it's wonderful because what you said is truthful, too, is that everybody we come in contact with, we're influencing.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize the power of our influencing. Mm-hmm. No matter who that person is, no matter how we're passing them, mm-hmm. we are powerfully influential. We have a party in here today. Yeah, my goodness, yeah, this is awesome. Yes. Is this one of the kickball teams?
Yes, it's one of
the women team. Yeah. Awesome. I hadn't even thought about women being in the kickball team. Yeah, just come on in. Yeah. I mean, we don't have chairs for everybody, yeah, but you're welcome to just come in and make it good. Yeah. But you know, the thing you were saying too about relationships too, our personal relationships also, how and Alex was saying that too, is how we are at home. At home is with ourself, right? Exactly. The first person we meet in every day is ourself. Mm-hmm. So if we're not checking in, Alex, that I'm getting from you is if we're not checking into ourself, how we are doing, then how we are doing with our mates or how we're doing with our family or how we're doing with our neighbor or how we're doing with that person at work, if we're not checking in with how we are loving ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is very powerful. You know, I keep going back to what Martin Luther King says, but I'm going to say, because I say it too, is that we, I think, limit ourselves when we tell ourselves we are not resource. Each one of us are resource. Yeah. And Martin Luther King said that, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't look at how much money you made. He didn't look at what your status or class in life. You notice that? Mm-hmm. But do you think we look at that more than...
And it doesn't take much to just to be positive.
Yes.
You know? And I try to, you know, on a daily basis when I get up in the morning, I pray mm-hmm. and I try to start my day always mm-hmm. being happy and positive. you know, because I know the world brings about change daily, minute, you know, every hour. And so anything could happen. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be a positive person, you know, even when things that got me down or, you know, on my mind stuff, I try to deal with things and not so much as an outward, mm-hmm. you know, a way, but, you know, I kind of deal with, sort it around in
and
my
you
head.
And you had Carlos yeah. talk and,
yeah, yeah, hey. Sort of around, yeah, and I mm-hmm. run things by, you mm-hmm. know, by him.
And does he
know.
Run things by you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And then we have another good friend, mm-hmm. John Towns. Mm-hmm. You know, we call him Dollar and, mm-hmm. you know, run things by him. And he'll tell me if I'm, you know, man, you're right. Or if I'm mm-hmm. wrong, he'll tell me, man, look, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You're wrong in this and you need to get this together. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's people like that that you have in your life that helps build a good, strong community, a good, strong person.
Yes,
you know
what I mean? Yes.
So that's what we're looking for.
Yes, but yes.
This is Shalonda Green. This is Adria Duncan. You got Rebecca Crabtree and Caitlin and Abby.
Okay, so you all yeah. want to come and
yeah,
talk on the...
Yeah, let them come and talk for a little bit. We'll,
okay,
we'll
come
stand
on.
Around a, yeah, we'll
come
stand
on.
Around listen.
So this is come the women's kickball team, or yeah, these
well,
are part
it's,
of the
it's
planners?
All co-ed. It's all co-ed, but they're the one kick wonders. They are a team that's playing in the tournament. And so, yeah.
And yeah, now were these... Now, were these tournament people who are in the tournament, did they have kick? Were these kickball tournaments that were, I mean,
no.
teams that were already established,
no,
or they just
no,
came
no.
about?
No, we're all inexperienced. And, all
right.
And we don't, yeah, this is just something that, like I say, everybody got together. I don't know how we'll feel once the day is over with, you know, but right now we're feeling pretty good and we're going to go out here and have some fun.
Okay, well, come on, One Kick Wonders. Now, this is co-ed, you said. All right.
Yeah, the whole tournament is
co-ed. All right. This is fun. Okay. All right. So would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Adria.
Abby.
Rebecca. And Shalonda.
Okay. All right. So how did you hear about this kickball tournament? Was it Facebook, too?
I heard from my mama.
You heard from your mom.
Yes, on Tuesday.
Now, and I heard from Shalonda. So it kind of just went around, and we got on Facebook, and, you know, he started a thing, and everybody just started chiming in, and it just snowballed. And I found it very powerful that he's been trying to do this for 2 months.
Speaking of microphones.
That he's been trying to do this for at least 2 months, even before all the things started transpiring, to try to get the community to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're missing a lot of. People, if you love the person next to you, as far as, you know, as much as you love yourself, then we should be okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
stuff gonna happen. But this here, I think it's gonna be the Harlem Globetrotters meet kickball.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah. And we're gonna see what happens.
So tell me, what is kickball? What does that look like? Kickball.
Someone throws you the ball and you kick it.
Oh, they throw it or roll
like
it?
It's like
roll
it.
It's
okay.
Like a ball.
Yeah.
Okay, you roll. And how big is this ball?
About the size of a basketball.
Oh, it's the size of a basketball.
It's and softer.
Yeah.
So now if you speak in the microphone, I'm going to need you to share, get in that microphone. Okay, so now this kickball, so are you playing it the same way you would play baseball with bases?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same rules as baseball, and everything is set up the same as baseball, but, I mean, you roll the ball and the ball is kicked. And you try to catch it and get them.
So it's the same number of team members on the field as baseball?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the pitcher, and then you have the catcher. So there's going to be someone that's an umpire?
Yes.
So are there strikes or you don't strike?
Yes.
Oh, there's strikes.
It's called outs.
And okay, and
foul balls
too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, that's wonderful.
The only difference is you can tag out the runner and by throwing the ball at them, and they can be hit with the ball, but it's no headshots.
Right.
What do you mean no headshots?
Shoulders down.
You can only
you
aim
can't
for
get hit
shoulders
in the head.
Down. You can't hit them in the head with the ball to tag
that's
them out.
Problem.
Oh, if you okay, so you throw the ball
mm-hmm.
to tag them out.
Yes.
So if they're running to the base, is that what you mean? Or if they're not on the base, then they're tagged if you throw them
either
the ball.
Or.
Oh,
either
wow.
You can hit the person with the ball.
Okay.
So if I throw the ball at her
mm-hmm.
and the ball hits her, she's out.
Because she's not on the base.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as long as she's on the base,
baseball,
she's safe.
You know, baseball, you have to
touch
catch it and
ball.
Touch the person.
Okay.
I can take the ball and throw it at her.
If she's not on the base.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
oh, wow. This is
it
really...
Might happen, but.
Okay, good. So what do you think this is going to do for our mental health, spiritual health, emotional health?
I think it'll be amazing. And the fact that the age ranges amongst the teams are from, it looks like, 9 and 10-year-olds all the way up to some of us are in our 40s.
Wow.
You know, so there's in a different businesses that people have or different walks of life, like some of us work in the medical field. You got construction workers. You got teachers. You got motivational speakers. You know, there's just so many people in the community coming together just to have fun. You mm-hmm. know, I've been ready for this for about a couple weeks now.
So have you been practicing?
A little bit.
A little bit. Just look yes. like you're going to be going out there and having fun, mm-hmm. mostly. Mm-hmm. So do you see this as maybe an annual event?
I would love for it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So,
That is the plan.
I guess my vote.
And it grew so fast because at first it was just like, we're going to play some kickball. Then here they say bouncy houses and food and, mm-hmm. you know, somebody's going to come out and help with registrations and voting. You know, just different type of things. And to see, you know, one of our black men presented in a positive light in the midst of everything that's going on right now, I think it's a way to maybe mend some community, you know, relationships and stuff.
I think it was really good because I didn't know anything about this mm-hmm. until I saw the newspaper yesterday.
See?
And I didn't have a guest for today. And I was so thankful that it wouldn't just be me talking mm-hmm. or playing my videos, my, you know, media stuff. But I'm so thankful that to see this, I was like really happy to see something that was fun mm-hmm. And everybody was included in mm-hmm. it. And I think that was so important. So you said that you have different professions in mm-hmm. here. So tell me, what are your professions? Did you all know each other before
this? She and I just met in the last 2 years working together. I'm not from here.
Oh, so no. Where are you from?
Actually, technically Chicago, but I've been this way for a while.
But and you live here now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, been here about 5 years.
So you didn't travel all the way here to play kickball?
No. And okay. I ran into her. We started working at Francis Nelson.
Okay.
And we just build a bond that extends outside of work.
So who knew about the face, about what was happening with the kickball? Did you know first? And then you told her?
No. She knew first.
Oh, you knew first. Okay. Okay. And how did you know?
Through her and Bob.
Mm-hmm. So did you all know each other before?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's just met through Facebook?
Mm-mm.
Through this. No, everybody knew each other. Now, who is this over here?
Of the people that are coming, we aren't all friends.
Okay.
I mean, we don't see every day or talk to every day.
Mm-hmm.
It will be our first time meeting them.
Oh, awesome. This is wonderful.
We just happen to be a big group here mm-hmm. that we do hang together.
Yeah. Right. So what do you think the climate has been like in terms of when you hear about these things in the news, and it's just kind of depressing in a way, and it's kind of anxiety producing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has that felt like for you as a, you know, individuals? I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. Mm-hmm. Anyone?
I think it's sad that, you know, all the shootings, killings that we got going on with such young folks just throwing their lives away. It's really sad and it's depressing. And hopefully, once they see that people from all walks of life, white, black, Asian, it doesn't matter, are just coming out to have a good time and fellowship with one another, maybe we can, if we touch one or two young people, then we're making progress. There's a friend of mine that just done the same thing in Peoria, had a big kickball tournament. So we're going to reach out and maybe do like a citywide tournament, Champaign versus Peoria, mm-hmm. Champaign versus Decatur, and just make it a big thing, not just about Champaign and starting here in Champaign. They started there in Peoria. Friend of mine had the same idea as Bub had. So we're going to reach out outside of Champaign. We're going to work on Champaign and then reach outside of Champaign. But we got to start at home mm-hmm. with our youth. It's, again, sad. We got so many young black men that's throwing their lives away. And, again, I can speak on it because I was one of the young black men 25, 35 years ago in the streets doing stupid stuff. And I just want to encourage young black men. You say it's hard to get a job with a felony. Well, I'm a prime example. I have felonies. And it takes a while, but you got to be determined, dedicated, and motivated. If you really want a job, keep pushing, keep trying, it'll happen. I'm a high school dropout with no diploma, and I have a job now that people with degrees can't even get. So it will happen. You just got to stay motivated, stay away from the violence, the nonsense, and it can happen. So, again, we're just trying our best to reach out to our young black men and women and just, you know, do our part as the generation that came before them and say, hey, we need to stop killing each other. If we don't have respect for one another, how can we expect the community, the police officers, and other people to have respect for us?
Very important.
Danville is traveling. Nope. Danville is traveling here to play today.
Alex,
got to speak in the microphone so we can hear you.
And I just want to second that, what he just said about if you have a felony, you know, it's not hard. You can still get a job. It do take time because I'm 31, and I do got a felony. And right now I'm a car tech at Honda BMW. So you can do what you got to do, you know, to be successful.
And also to the young men and women who feel like there's no resources in the community, and I think that that's part of the problem, is that they don't feel like they have anybody that they can reach out to and get some information from in order to get past these boundaries. And as the men are on our teams and all these different guys out there, I hope that they can come to a corporate, you know, solution and say, hey, you know how to do this, you know how to do this, you know how to do this. How about we go gather up 10 boys, 10 young men, and say, listen, this is what we can teach you, or what is it that you need to know? Because a lot of them don't know the resources or feel like they don't have support to say, hey, I got a felony, I can't get a job. You know, I was at O'Hare Airport, and 75% of the workforce that was out on the landing strips was young black men. And I stood there in awe watching these boys. They had their caps to the back, you know, but they were out there directing planes, you know, doing all this stuff. And I'm going, it's there. But if you don't have the resources or mm-hmm. feel that you can reach out without a backlash or maybe being belittled, mm-hmm. you know, because you're looking for help, if we can get past that, I think that we can get a lot of the younger men and these older guys together to help invigorate the community. Go rebuild some of these houses. You know, a lot of them carpenters. Teach these young boys how to use their hands.
Who's carpenters in here?
I don't know about them, but there's okay. people on the team.
Because I'm always looking for somebody.
Right. See, please. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Give them something to do so that they don't feel like, mm-hmm. I don't have no choice but to sell drugs. You know, you can make just as much money selling drugs, and you don't have to worry about mm-hmm. the other things that come with it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
And the resources is what's happening today. Mm-hmm. You come right. out and you network with people. You, like I was saying earlier, you allow people to see you in a different light. Mm-hmm. So that means you get off the corner with your pants hanging down, walking down Bradley with your pants hanging down and the blunts in your mouth mm-hmm. and you're cussing and acting crazy. And so you never know who's riding by mm-hmm. that can see you in that light. And then you go into their place of employment and trying to get a job, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so those are the type of things that happens that, you know, we bring on ourselves, mm-hmm. you know. And so you can come out to the park today. It'll be lots of people out here. Mm-hmm. And you talk and shake hands and allow people to see you in a respectable way, mm-hmm. you know. And then doors will begin to open for you, mm-hmm. you know. And that's just how it works.
I'm just amazed, and I like amazed, like, oh, I'm so amazed, but I'm happily happy that you're doing this. I mean, really, it touches my heart. I mean that because you did not wait. You didn't think about it and say, well, it's not going to happen. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
You actually started something, and I think that's what we all can do. We can start where we are and mm-hmm. do something, mm-hmm. something better than what we're already doing. And it's really important that we start at home, right, Alex?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And home is where we live, and in our families, et cetera. And so what do you think this is going to do for us as women? You know, when we think about our men, I'm married to a man and been married for a long time. But I think it's interesting that the way our men also are experiencing their environments has a lot to do with how they experience us and how they treat us. So what do you think this is going to mean for us as women? When we think about, we're supporting an idea, it's not just for men, it's for all of us. Mm-hmm. But if our men are not feeling well, if they're not feeling healthy, we get the, you know, the backlash too, don't we? Mm-hmm. And we do what we can to support them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes it's very hard and we're discouraged because sometimes it's not enough. So what do you think this is going to mean for you as women in relationships? Come on.
It's inspiring. Go ahead. It's good for the soul.
Tell me how it's good for the soul.
Well, I woke up happy, excited, you know, mm-hmm. full of energy. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even ate breakfast yet. So, I mean, you know, and I rubbed off on my man getting up this morning. So, mm-hmm. I know he feels good himself. So.
Ah, so it's very important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I tell my husband this. It's weird, I don't hear anything. I tell my husband this all the time, is that how I'm feeling has a lot to do with how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand that, and he doesn't understand that, then we're spending a lot of time clashing
mm-hmm.
all the time. And we're clashing in our community, too. So this community that we live in is just a larger expression of how we're feeling in our own home. Our own body and ourselves, and then in our relationships. So to hear you all make the connection, and I know you know that it's there, right? But how often we ignore it and feel, as Kenneth says, as Carlos says, as Alex says too, is you feel hopeless. It's like, okay, what am I going to do? I've got this thing going on, and I got this thing going on that's not right in my life, or I think I'm not right in my life. And how does this play out? So it's really good that we're making the connection and that we keep making that connection, because we aren't disconnected, are we?
Mm-mm.
We're never disconnected from ourselves. We've known this all along, right?
So I just want to say, before we get out of here, that any of the young brothers, young men that's going to be at the park, want to come talk, get information, have somebody just, you know, motivate them. There'll be people out there, myself, Bub, our big brother John Towns, he'll be there to help us support what we're doing. And of course, he's always talking to me and Bub and giving us advice, so I'm sure that he'll be more than welcome to, you know, put his input in on some of the young brothers, as well as some of the other older fellas is going to be out there. So feel free to come up to us, talk to us. We'll give you our phone numbers if you want to call, talk, get information.
You want to give them your numbers now, if it's anybody listening? And it's going to be at Douglas Park, right?
Park,
today from 10 to 6. Hold on, just 1 second. Hold on 1 second. From 10 to 6 today. So it's in half an hour, it'll start. And it's how many teams?
We have
nine teams. Okay. So who is the contact person? You want to give everybody?
You can call me, Carlos Cobb, 217-530-3031. Kenneth Shelby, 217-493-3020, and of course our big brother, he's probably gonna be mad, but that's okay. Me and Bub can deal with him. John Towns, 217-778-5290. So again, come on out, support us. If he can give me and Bub advice, surely he's gonna help us give our young brothers advice. So God bless you. We appreciate you for having us on.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's been a party.
Thank you.
Yes. I've got to invite you back sometime, the ladies, so we can talk some more.
My mom used to run a radio station.
Did she?
WDMC.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're looking for air shifters here.
Listen. We're off the air, right?
Not quite. I'm going to see if I can, maybe if I can play some music, then I can walk you all out and say goodbye and thank you so much for everything. Oh, I'm going to continue with President Obama's speech. And this is WEFT, Champaign 90.1 FM, and this is Higher Ground. Go out to Douglas Park. It's starting at 10 o'clock. Have fun. Bring your children, too.
These things we know to be true. And if we cannot even talk about these things, if we cannot talk honestly and openly, not just in the comfort of our own circles, but with those who look different than us or bring a different perspective, then we will never break this dangerous cycle. In the end, it's not about finding policies that work. It's about forging consensus and fighting cynicism. And finding the will to make change. Can we do this? Can we find the character as Americans, to open our hearts to each other? Can we see in each other a common humanity and a shared dignity and recognize how our different experiences have shaped us? And it doesn't make anybody perfectly good or perfectly bad. It just makes us human. I don't know. I confess that sometimes I too experience doubt. I've been to too many of these things. I've seen too many families go through this. But then I am reminded of what the Lord tells Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart, the Lord says, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's what we must pray for, each of us. A new heart. Not a heart of stone, but a heart open to the fears and hopes and challenges of our fellow citizens. That's what we've seen in Dallas these past few days. And that's what we must sustain. Because with an open heart, we can learn to stand in each other's shoes and look at the world through each other's eyes. So that maybe the police officer sees his own son in that teenager with a hoodie who's kind of goofing off, but not dangerous. And maybe the teenager will see in the police officer the same words and values and authority of his parents. With an open heart, we can abandon the overheated rhetoric and the oversimplification that reduces whole categories of our fellow Americans, not just to opponents, but to enemies. With an open heart, those protesting for change will guard against reckless language going forward. Look at the model set by the five officers we mourn today. Acknowledge the progress brought about by the sincere efforts of police departments like this one in Dallas. And embark on the hard but necessary work of negotiation, the pursuit of reconciliation. With an open heart, police departments will acknowledge that just like the rest of us, they're not perfect. That insisting we do better to root out racial bias is not an attack on cops, but an effort to live up to our highest ideals. And I understand these protests, I see them, they can be messy. Sometimes they can be hijacked by an irresponsible few. Police can get hurt. Protesters can get hurt. They can be frustrated. But even those who dislike the phrase Black Lives Matter, surely we should be able to hear the pain of Alton Sterling's family. We should, when we hear a friend describe him by saying that whatever he cooked enough for everybody, that should sound familiar to us, that maybe he wasn't so different than us, so that we can, yes, insist that his life matters. Just as we should hear the students and co-workers describe their affection for Philando Castile as a gentle soul. Mr. Rogers with dreadlocks, they called him. And know that his life mattered to a whole lot of people of all races, of all ages. And that we have to do what we can without putting officers' lives at risk, but do better to prevent another life like his from being lost. With an open heart, we can worry less about which side has been wronged and worry more about joining sides to do right. Because the vicious killer of these police officers, they won't be the last person who tries to make us turn on one another. The killer in Orlando wasn't, nor was the killer in Charleston. We know there is evil in this world. That's why we need police departments. But as Americans, we can decide that people like this killer will ultimately fail. They will not drive us apart. We can decide to come together and make our country reflect the good inside us, the hopes and simple dreams we share. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope.
That absolutely.
You think I'll be happy with that?
Good question.
That was kind of strange what happened. I don't think I finished all the President Obama's speech.
For all of us.
There it is.
Life presents challenges and suffering. Accidents, illnesses, the loss of loved ones. There are times when we are overwhelmed by sudden calamity, natural or man-made. All of us, we make mistakes. And at times we are lost. And as we get older, we learn we don't always have control of things. Not even a president does. But we do have control over how we respond to the world. We do have control over how we treat one another. America does not ask us to be perfect. Precisely because of our individual imperfections, our founders gave us institutions to guard against tyranny and ensure no one is above the law. A democracy that gives us the space to work through our differences and debate them peacefully. To make things better, even if it doesn't always happen as fast as we'd like. America gives us the capacity to change. But as the men we mourn today, these five heroes knew better than most, we cannot take the blessings of this nation for granted. Only by working together can we preserve those institutions of family and community, rights and responsibilities, law and self-government that is the hallmark of this nation. For it turns out we do not persevere alone. Our character is not found in isolation. Hope does not arise by putting our fellow man down. It is found by lifting others up. And that's what I take away from the lives of these outstanding men. The pain we feel may not soon pass, but my faith tells me that they did not die in vain. I believe our sorrow can make us a better country. I believe our righteous anger can be transformed into more justice and more peace. Weeping may endure for a night, but I'm convinced joy comes in the morning. We cannot match the sacrifices made by officers
Zamarripa, and Ahrens, Kroll, Smith, and Thompson. But surely we can try to match their sense of service. We cannot match their courage, but we can strive to match their devotion. May God bless their memory. May God bless this country that we love.
Okay. Well, there was a lot in that speech, and I think it was all very, well, I won't say all, but much of it was really relevant because he talked about how important it is that we not get caught up in the, he didn't say blame, but what can we do now? We keep being exposed to something. It's like insanity. It says you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you get the same results. And that this change has to be systemic. It has to be within all systems. And that's why it's a wonderful thing when we look at how can you, where you are, as Martin Luther King says, be of service in your community. Don't let anyone tell you or anything tell you, you are not someone who can serve. We all serve, whether we're serving something good or we're serving something not so good. We serve. But Martin Luther King was especially talking about how we can love one another. And that love is essential to our well-being. I've got my friend on the telephone, Marilyn Cleveland. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello.
Hi, girl.
Let me turn this down.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So we got Marilyn on the phone, too. Marilyn sent me a text or Facebook or something to let me know about some condition that she's living near that she knows environmentally it's not healthy. And it's like, well, who cares? Well,
right.
I care. You know, Marilyn, you tell me something, I care. And so tell me about what's happening where you live in. This is Marilyn Dean Cleveland, who is a artist. But she's not calling me about that today. She's calling. We're talking about something that's happening around where you live that you think needs to be addressed.
Let me clarify that.
Okay.
It's not where I live.
It's not near where you live? Okay.
But where I lived at one time.
Okay. Okay.
Excuse me. And it's right in the middle of an apartment complex.
Mm.
Now, those pictures that I took, I have a lot more of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. And here we got people living out there who is surrounded with this. Mm. It's in the middle of the complex, Eunice.
What is it?
It's the Perry Green apartment.
Okay, and what is it that you sent pictures of? What is this, a pond or
is
this?
It's the pond in the middle of the complex.
And it's supposed to be a pond.
Yes.
Something nice and.
Yes.
But it's not.
It has the green sludge, mold.
Mm.
Some of it looks like poop.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know. And you got kids playing in this water.
Oh, my.
That's filthy. It's a breeding ground for mosquitoes that can carry diseases to children, especially the children, because they're not as strong as the adults.
Mm-hmm.
But the smell, I mean, to look at it, it looks like it's out in the woods someplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It is not right, Eunice.
And this is a complex.
Yeah.
And this has been like this for a while, Marilyn?
Now, I have gone by, you know, and I saw it when it first started. I should have took pictures then, you know, but that was on me.
Mm-hmm.
But it got where I couldn't just ignore that because, like I said, if I'm a troublemaker, so be it. But this is hazardous.
Mm-hmm.
It's hazardous, and they don't care.
You mean the people that live there don't care? Because do you think they've reported this? Do you think they've reported this to the city? Do you think they've reported this to the city?
No.
Hmm. So they don't. Maybe they don't know. They don't think they can say anything about it.
You got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, sometimes people say, well, it's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to health,
mm-hmm.
it's my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to cause any problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get something cleaned up.
Because mm-hmm. people shouldn't live that way.
They shouldn't.
Mm-mm. We shouldn't have to.
And I'm being, when I say this, mm-hmm. I say this with all sincerity and mm-hmm. in love.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
But if this was in a white neighborhood,
mm-mm.
this would not be happening.
Mm-mm.
They would have cleaned this up long time ago.
Mm-mm.
They would have a beautiful pond out there.
Mm. This is a private-owned facility, correct? This is a private-owned apartment
complex.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is out in what part of Urbana?
It's on Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington and Smith. No, yeah, on Washington.
Off because Washington Street.
I lived out there, Eunice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
When I went out there, you saw the little pond out there.
No, I actually didn't. I've never seen the pond when I would come visit you.
Yeah, you probably. Well, if you had come out here now, you would have. You would notice it.
Because I'd smell it.
And it's disgusting.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, like I said, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense that people have not made a stink about it. And if they have made a stink about it, nothing has been done about it, that this apartment complex just lets it be that way.
And then they had nerve enough to put a little, I mean, I've got pictures of the water pump that supposedly be
clean
pumping
that out.
Stuff out.
Mm-mm-mm.
But it's pumping it in the back
mm-mm-mm.
on
the lawn, grass. Bushes.
On the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness. That's worse.
Now, one of the pictures shows
my goodness.
This stuff is this accumulating on the parking lot because they had the hose way stuck down in the pond.
Mm-mm.
And it's supposed to suck the water out.
Mm.
And it goes someplace else. So what's happening?
Mm.
They're taking one mess, putting it in another mess.
Mm-hmm.
They're just moving it around and not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not right.
No, it isn't.
It is not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
well,
like
I appreciate
it. A lot of black people live out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of them care,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know what to do. They are afraid maybe they'll get. They have to clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had a swimming pool. They closed that. They never got it fixed. They put a cover over it.
Mm-mm-mm.
So what makes the difference between that swimming pool and that pond
mm-hmm.
that is out in the open,
mm-hmm.
festering?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get dry mold,
mm-hmm.
and it's been really hot.
Mm-hmm.
You get dry mold. When it dries, it's going to be airborne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All of the stuff that is in there, once it dries up, where does it go? The wind takes it someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes bite,
mm-hmm.
give you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not right that they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask, call the city on Monday.
Yeah,
see if they know about this.
I called WCIA yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I don't believe they checked it out.
Well, once they start hearing about it, they'll be out there looking at it.
they heard
it's
about
news.
It yesterday.
Well, that's what I mean. When they hear about it, like, oh, somebody's complaining, there is a blah, 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 then
it's
they'll
not,
be out there looking
not a
at it.
It's the right to live in a clean
That's right. I agree. Maryland?
If you were, mm-hmm. say, hold on a minute.
I remember Marilyn one other time she was really passionate about another thing that she thought was just terrible, the way they treated people in a nursing facility,
right,
you know, and you
right.
were a volunteer there. I think you worked there
yes.
some time and then you were a volunteer.
Yes. I worked there for 2 years.
And it was like, oh, this is not right, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. Good
right,
for you.
Right. I mean, like I said, it just doesn't make sense.
No,
little
it doesn't.
Kids
playing in that.
Playing in this stuff.
Mm-mm.
One good thing that I saw.
What?
Was there was somebody had put a plant. A red plant, plastic plant.
Marilyn, you are too funny.
That picture.
Oh, girl.
I mean,
a plastic plant. Cause
a plastic plant. But the beauty of it was that there was a flower in the midst
of this,
all of that mess.
That's how it is, girl. You a flower. You the
flower,
girl.
Somebody thought enough to put a flower
on. You the flower, girl.
You know,
Marilyn, you the flower.
I don't know.
Did you what I said? You the flower girl.
But it wasn't the lady that lives across from it.
Mm-hmm.
She said she sits on her little balcony, and she has to look at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She has to smell that stuff.
Mm.
But if it was in a different neighborhood, it would not have happened.
You think we'd care? Well, you know, that's a possibility, Marilyn, but I know one thing now. You have told me about it. And you know, and both you and I know, and I'm going to call the city on Monday and report what you've told me.
Yeah, like I said,
because
I
that's disgusting.
WCIA yesterday morning, and I figured they would, you know, say something, write something, and do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I'll wait until Monday, and if nothing is done, then there's another plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is to take my pictures.
Mm-hmm.
To the health department.
That's good. That's a good one,
That's
too.
That's what we're going to do Monday.
All right.
Because I tell you, it's not as bad as it was, but you see those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it looks, it's just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
The rat, the cattails have just grown over. And I know that they see that. I know the office see that. But they want their rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want the rent, but they're not willing to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who's living out there.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't care, there's somebody that does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's not right.
It's not right.
It's not right. And they talk about black lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example. If it doesn't matter
who's over there, as long as you collecting the rent.
And it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying there's a few white people out there,
mm-hmm.
but most of them are black.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, if they don't care, why should we care?
Wow, well, we care.
But this world, this is why the world is in such a turmoil now, is because people say, well, why should I care when they don't care?
And it's not my problem, it's their problem.
That is not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living over here in a nice, clean neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all problems of each other.
Yes, yes.
And if people just didn't care, what kind of world would this be? There's still people in this world that care.
That's true.
And I am one of them.
Me too, Marilyn.
I am one of them, and I do not apologize.
Right on. I don't want you to either. I'm glad you got in touch with me and showed it to me because, you know, if I had been playing that and needing to go to my phone to play some media thing, I would not have seen your Facebook. But I figured when you tagged me this early in the morning, you had something to share with me. So I had to look at that. And I saw it and I said, you know, this will work out just perfectly because I have some time. And I can have you on the telephone if you were available. Because I wasn't sure where this was at. You didn't say.
And like I said, you know, it's in Perry Green apartment complex.
Okay.
It's just not right. I said if this didn't work, I was going to get a sign and put clean it up.
I think that's a good idea, Marilyn. I think that's a good idea. We ought to do that. You know what? I should come over there with you. And when you put that sign up, and we'll take a picture and put it on Facebook.
I already got it on there.
I'm talking about the address and everything. You got the address?
Go to my page.
Okay. Do you have the address on there, too?
My address?
No, Prairie.
No, I just got.
That's what I'm saying. You and me can go over there and put the sign up together and take a picture and post it.
The sign.
Oh, okay. Well, we could take a picture of you. I could take a picture of you with the sign.
No, I don't need all of that.
Well, we need a picture of the sign. I'm thinking a sign up there that says clean it up, and we put it on Facebook. I could put it on my
Facebook.
You see what I'm saying?
When you want to do that?
Do that today.
Okay.
We'd be done with that. Do it. Yes.
All right.
So do you have some poster board, or do I need to bring some?
Well, I don't have.
Okay, so I'll get some poster board, something to put it up, and then we need like a little stake or something, right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, what time you want to do that?
Okay, so I'm thinking like sometime like around, let's see, 1 o'clock or
that's
2.
Great. That's
okay,
great.
So it'd be maybe closer
because,
to
like
1.
I said,
okay.
Is that right?
No, it isn't.
Now what they did was they took the, now there's nothing in there that's sucking the water out.
Right.
Yesterday I didn't have my camera. There was a duck.
In the water?
There was a duck swimming in there. One duck. I remember a time when it would rain and the water would fill it up. There were so many ducks that was coming and able.
Mm-hmm.
But now
it's one duck.
Even before I moved from there,
mm-hmm.
ducks wouldn't even bother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I saw one duck yesterday.
One duck.
In that mess. Okay. I mean, in that mess.
Girl, we gonna post it on Facebook. You know, I had my guest that was on earlier about the kickball tournament.
That's how he started with
Facebook.
Like
so we gonna put it on Facebook today, okay?
Like I told you,
and
last
post it.
Week, I haven't been listening to you because my radio was out, but I've been listening.
Oh well, thank you.
And I was listening today, and I listen to you every Saturday.
So we gonna post this on Facebook, and we gonna see what response we get from that. All right,
we
gonna follow with a call on Monday.
That's
and see
right.
what happens then, okay?
Right.
We're going to put a little Shug Avery P in it. Remember that from The Color of Purple?
Oh. Okay.
Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next time, I'll put a little Shug Avery P in it.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Like I said, I don't have a poster board, but I can go and get some.
Okay. Okay, sweetie. All right. So, yeah, I'll bring some poster board. I'll bring something, okay? So it'll be maybe close around 2 o'clock because I got to find all the materials, okay? And
all
take
right,
Lady
baby.
For a walk.
I appreciate it.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Good talking with you, Marilyn.
Yes, baby girl.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, coming up.
Kickball.
Yep. Yeah, we got exciting time. So you going to go? You going to go? You going to go? Play some kickball today or
well,
look?
I was just thinking if they're kicking the ball around, they maybe ought to get some soccer going too. And you're a little low there.
Oh,
maybe
gosh. Enjoy yourself.
Integrate some of those soccer fields out there. You know, soccer players get more money than NFL players and they have less likelihood of getting concussions. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it'll be a wonderful thing today. And I thank you so much for this opportunity that I've had today to talk with some wonderful people in our wonderful community. People who are saying, you know what, one way we can help to stimulate some good vibrations is by playing together, enjoying each other's company. And I think this will be fun. So if you have time today, it's from 10 to 6. Go to Douglas Park. It's free. There's what are those things that you jump on for kids? You know, those inflated things.
Yeah,
and it's going to be food, and it's going to be a nice time. So, it's a nice day. So, go out there and support that, and perhaps maybe this will become an annual event. It's also co-ed too, and ages it says from 9 to what up. So, enjoy 9 teams playing today, and let's see what else. I think that's about it, right?
It's interesting to hear of the reflections of felons who have made it. That's
yes,
a good thing.
Yes. Oh, wow. If I'd like to mention to you, too, something I saw on TED Talks, and it's Ironwood Prisons. Are you familiar with that program they have?
No.
Where a lot of the prison, inmates are getting an education.
What's left of the rehabilitation part of corrections, I guess?
But this is wonderful. But anyway, there's on TED Talks, you get a variety of inmates who talk about their experiences, mm-hmm. what is meant for them, as well as staff, people, et cetera, et cetera. It's really good. It's Ironwood Prisons.
The U of I has the program that works in the jail over in Danville where they give college credit to inmates.
That's
over in
good.
Danville.
Yeah. And it's so it's here.
Education Justice
Project. Exactly, exactly. So look at that Ironwoods, and you will see a variety of speakers, and it's absolutely wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much. This is Eunice Buckner Boone signing out. Higher Ground and News from Neptune.
There's a chair here somewhere for me.
Did I leave some?
She just rolled away. Well, I'm going to do a little storyboard what I've got here today. I've got my favorite U of I graduate, Gareth Porter, who's been